We have been compiling a list of great reads for the summer, and today we'll bring you a book for whom eye-opening doesn't begin to describe it. It could totally change your perspective on the formative years of our country. It is the story of the last great chief of the tribe that was once the most powerful in the nation. The book's called Empire of the Summer Moon, Quanah Parker and the Rise and Fall of the Comanches, the Most Powerful Indian Tribe in American History. Sam Gwynn is the author. It is not a long book, but when you finish it, you'll feel like you've taken a journey with this tribe, a tribe that was awkward and ungainly until they climbed on top of their native ponies. On horseback, they were one of the most able and lethal armed cavalries in the world. Sam Gwynn joins us now from his home in Dallas, Texas. Good morning.
Good morning.
Am I saying that right? Quanah Parker?
Yeah, you're saying just right, yes.
Well, you know, tell me how you came to write this book. It seems to me like it must have involved an exhaustive amount of research to go beyond the headlines and the newspaper accounts of the Indian Wars and get the story that you got here.
Well, I came to it originally. I just read it was really a part of a chapter in a book by Walter Prescott Webb called The Great Plains many years ago, and it just put forth this theory that there was this thing sitting in the middle of the continent, this Native American superpower that determined the way the country was settled. And I read this and I thought, well, you know, I'm a kid who grew up in the Northeast. I didn't really know what a Comanche was, except maybe in the mouth of John Wayne. And so I began to read. And the more I did, the more I realized, well, two things. One, they were, in fact, this force of nature that really did determine the way the American West opened itself up. But they were also just this phenomenal, phenomenally unknown quantity to most of the country. So I guess that propelled me to write the book. But yes, in terms of writing the book itself, I happened to be in Austin, Texas, where the University of Texas has like the world's greatest Comanche archive.
Well, one of the ways that it seems to me the book is split into two halves. You've got the story of Rachel Parker, who was a white woman who actually was kidnapped by Comanches at a very young age, as a child, and then later on refused to return to white civilization. She married.
Oh, you mean Cynthia Ann Parker?
Cynthia Ann Parker, excuse
right.
me. Her cousin was Rachel, right. And she stayed with the Comanches, and although she had opportunities to leave, she didn't want to, which flew in the face of what people had assumed. The other half is about her son, who became a great warrior and really the last chief of this tribe. But let's talk about Cynthia Ann, because that opens up, her story kind of opens up this idea for you on everything that we don't know, everything we think we know but don't actually, about the Indian Wars, about the settlement of Texas, and about the Indians.
Right. Well, The book really works on two principles. One is the rise and fall of the Comanches as a tribe, which really goes back to the 17th century. The other is the story of, as you say, Cynthia Ann Parker, this little 9-year-old girl who was kidnapped by Comanches in 1836. And she became the most famous captive on the frontier. She became the white squaw who refused to return, even though she was seen many times. She completely assimilated into the tribe. She married a chief. She had three sons, the oldest of whom, Quanah, became the last and greatest chief of the Comanches. And it's interesting because if you look at Cynthia Ann's kidnapping in 1836 from a fort just south of Dallas to Quanah's surrender in 1875 when he took the last of the starving Comanches in, it's you have the Parker family sort of bookending the 40-year war against the Comanches. There was never a 40-year war against any Indian tribe. No tribe held up the frontier as long as they did and had as much to say with what went on. And basically, when you look inside the Parker family, if you will, you see all of the frontier. You see not only Cynthia Ann's parents were Scotch-Irish, farmers moving west with the great westward migration. Her son was the rose to power at the very end of the wars. I mean, it has this great kind of automatic built-in, you know, narrative sweep to it.
But I'm surprised in reading your book, which was terrific, by the way, Sam, how
Thanks.
Remote this is in sort of psychological terms. I mean, you've got the Parkers who live in this kind of exotic notion of crossing into another world. That was very popular at the time in the United States, and Quanah himself, you know, retires as almost a celebrity. It's as though Osama bin Laden, sets up shop and runs a little museum in Iowa. How does that work?
Well, Quanah is a real piece of work. I mean, Quanah rose to power. He came to power right at the end of the Indian Wars, and particularly at the end of the Comanche Wars. And he was the, you know, the toughest Comanche fighter of his generation. I mean, he was brutal in an era which I'm sure you noticed in the book is full of remarkable brutality. And so you're looking at the collision of sophisticated, urbanized, kind of Anglo-European civilization of Galileo and Newton head on meeting these Stone Age hunter-gatherers. And it was quite brutal. And things like torture and brutality and rape were common. So what you have is Quanah is this warrior out there who was very much part of that, who in the reservation years turns himself into the wealthiest, most influential Indian of the reservation period, who made a lot of money and lived in a big house and knew Teddy Roosevelt.
Well, you know, what's interesting to me about, the second half where you give the story of Quanah, you describe the beginning of the Texas Rangers, some of the bumbling attempts by the U.S. Army to confront an army they have no idea how to fight, and the superior fighting skills of the Comanche when they were mounted. And what it appears that really in the end breaks the Comanche tribe, breaks this nation that ruled over 250,000 acres, isn't the army. It's the farmers. It's these settlers who persist in planting their farms in the middle of Indian territory and stubbornly risking their own lives and their families' lives to settle the country they feel entitled to.
Yeah, when you look back on people like the Parkers, you think, well, they're just crazy. I mean, who would be out there at the far tip of civilization? I mean, it's interesting if you look at the way the Spanish came north. I mean, they came north in these, the government would go and set up a presidio and a mission, and then the people would follow and stay very close in, and there was none of this entrepreneurial kind of spirit that the Americans had. And the American vanguard were just these settlers out there, these crazy settlers that were not afraid of anything, and they weren't afraid of Indians, and they kept pushing west. And so, I argue in a sense that, Quanah's own genetic lineage contained the seeds of his destruction. I mean, it was his mother's family. It was those people that just wouldn't stop coming west.
Where does that come from, though, in America, that you settle a land, you say it's ours, and the people who are already there basically don't exist? It's unique to America.
It is. There's nothing like it anywhere. And it is, when you see these people, coming across the Appalachian Mountains way back when and then pushing ever more west, it is remarkable to just even think about them and how they could have viewed the world. The Parkers were deeply religious. They were hard-nosed. They hated Indians like many of the people on the frontier did because they were contesting the land. All the treaties, so somebody observed once that I think the American government made 368 treaties and broke them. Well, the reason they did was because they couldn't enforce them. The only way to enforce them would have been to use the military against those people, the farmers, and they weren't going to do that.
So tell me, Sam Gwynn, out of all of the huge number of facts in here, which are surprising, which may fly in the face of the history we learned in school, what was your lesson you took away?
Let's see. What was the lesson that I took away? That's a good question. I think it was that the middle of the continent was in effect won only when it was lost by the Comanches. I always just thought of the West being won. It was really lost by the Comanches, and I think that would be my basic lesson there.
Well, it's absolutely a fascinating read. It's called Empire of the Summer Moon, Quanah Parker and the Rise and Fall of the Comanches, the Most Powerful Indian Tribe in American History by Sam Gwynn. Thanks so much, Sam.
Thank you for having me.